Hey guys, it's Scott. I just want to thank you for tuning into the Blue Ridge Church podcast. You know, I hope this is encouraging to you. I hope it's inspiring to you. And I pray most of all, it's going to help you on your faith journey. So enjoy today.
Well, good morning and welcome to Blue Ridge Church. My name is Cody. I'm one of the pastors. And I just want to tell you again, if you're hanging out with us online or you're in person, we are so, so glad that you're here. We are in week two of a series that we're calling Everybody Questions. And what we're talking about is questions that everybody asks. And also, it means something else too, right? That it's okay that we all have questions, right? That we all have questions. And so regardless of where you are on your faith journey, we're hoping that this series is going to be helpful to you. That if you're a Jesus follower, and you would call yourself that, I hope that this series will strengthen you in your faith, that it will help you to know that, you know, there are some answers, there are some ways that we talk about these questions that everybody has. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Jesus follower, I just want to tell you, I'm glad that you're here. If you're searching, if you're questioning, if you're investigating, I'm so glad that you're here. And our hope is that, you know, some of these questions, what they can become in our faith journey are roadblocks, right? Where they just stop us dead in our tracks. Our hope is that these won't be roadblocks, but instead they'll be speed bumps. Like, you're still going to have to get to the other side of it, and it's still going to be a little rocky, but it doesn't need to be a roadblock entirely. And these questions that we're talking about, they're not easy. Scott talked last week about the meaning of life. What's the meaning of life? And all of life, we were reminded last week that if we spend all of our life just seeking pleasure, just seeking experiences and the accumulation of stuff, what's going to happen is that we may have a lot of cool experiences and we may have a lot of cool stuff at the end of our life, but we risk ending life with an empty soul. That the real meaning of life is to experience a relationship with God. And as we have a relationship with God, that leads us to love others around us really well. If you missed last week, this is a great series to just go back, listen to the podcast, go to the website, or go back on Facebook and just watch the previous weeks. They will kind of build on each other as we go through. But this week, we're talking about this question. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to good people? And we've got to talk about this because we all deal with bad things, right? Because, you know, you take a nice warm shower and you get out of the shower and the towel's not where it's supposed to be. And so then you have to do the weird hobble thing all the way over to the towel. And then that's a bad thing. Or, you know, maybe you're like me and, you know, you're getting some of your summer clothes out now. It's been nice and warm. So you go into the dresser and you go into those back recesses of the dresser to go grab your shorts. And you realize it happened again. The dresser shrunk your shorts. It happens, right? Bad things happen to good people. No, for real. We're talking about bad things that happen to all of us. Things like death for those that we love. Things like sickness for those that we love. For us, disasters, natural or otherwise. And we know that these things happen. They don't surprise us that they happen in life, right? Sometimes they surprise us when they happen to us or the circumstances around them happening. But then we also have this idea that God is good, right? And that God is all-powerful. And so what happens is if enough bad things happen, we can begin to question one of those things. Like, well, if God is all good, then he must not be all-powerful. Like, there's some stuff that can kind of slip past him. You know, if he was all-powerful, he could change the direction of a tornado or a hurricane or, do something about sickness or COVID or heart problems or cancer or fill in the blank. So he must not be all-powerful. Or we're like, no, God's 100% all-powerful. You cannot get around that. Well, then you kind of have to question at some point, like, is God really all good? I mean, if he's all-powerful, well, then why doesn't he change something about one of those things we just mentioned? And then we bump into verses like this, Jeremiah 32, 17. O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your strong hand and your powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. That sounds like a pretty powerful God, doesn't it? I mean, he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the one who set the galaxies in motion. Like, that's pretty powerful. But then we run into verses like this, Psalm 86, 5. Oh, Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. Psalm 119, you are good and you do only good. Teach me your decrees. And so what we have to balance is that God is all good and he is all powerful. God will never be one of his qualities or characteristics at the expense of one of his other qualities and characteristics. God can't be loving and unjust at the same time. He has to be loving and just. He can't be faithful and dishonest. He has to be faithful and honest. He can't be all powerful and not be good. He's got to be both at the same time. So then we're still left with this question, right? Well, why do bad things happen? And that's where we have to look not at the God factor, but other factors. That's where we have to look at the human factor, which brings us to learning number one. Bad things happen because we live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world, however you want to say it. That this goes all the way back to the very beginning when humankind, Adam and Eve, when they lived in paradise, that God created us to live in a garden and tend to gardens. Scott talked about this last week. Genesis 2 paints these beautiful pictures of what the garden looked like, where the grass was green and the girls were pretty. Oh, that's Guns N' Roses. I'm just making sure you're awake, okay? No, but in the garden, it was an incredible place where it didn't rain. That sounds great on weekends like this, right? But the water actually came up from the ground and watered the plants and nourished the earth. There was nothing bad. And Genesis tells us that Adam and Eve lived with no shame at all because it was a world before sin entered in. Genesis 2, 25, now the man and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. God would walk with them, with Adam and Eve, in the cool of the day. Scripture says, and they lived in a perfect fellowship with God, their creator. But then something happened. Something happened that would change everything forever. Adam and Eve chose to go their own way to try and be like God and challenge God rather than just enjoy God. And this is what happened, according to Paul. Romans 5:12, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. See, our free will, that gift of God that we were given, that free will that God gave us, turned around and it got the best of us because in our choosing, we chose what we wanted rather than what God wanted. And we do this all the time. Now, the issue is that the consequences of going our way and doing what we want rather than what God wants is that sin doesn't just affect us. It affects the people around us. And it contributes to a broken world. This moment when Adam and Eve made that decision to go their own way, it's what people call the fall. Adam's fall was more than just about him. It was more than just his fall. It was a fall for all of creation. That God's original design has a stain on it. It got messed up. It was never meant to be this way, but now it is. Now God's perfect world has fallen and bad things happen. Sin leads to death. We all sin. We all contribute to the fallen world, to a broken world. Adam and Eve, their brokenness didn't just affect them. Our brokenness doesn't just affect us. And so the question is, well, what do we do about it? What do we do about it? And this brings us to learning number two. Believing more is not a fix-all. It's not a cure-all for bad things. So if we're going to talk about, like, what do we do with bad things, we got to talk about what not to do with them first. And I think that this one gets us into trouble all the time. This is our next attempt to try and prevent bad things. Well, I'm just going to be really, 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 really good. I'm going to be really good so that bad things won't happen to me. I'm going to be good enough that it's going to be a workaround so I can beat brokenness. And God will owe me one. I'm not going to be perfect. Of course, like, only Jesus was perfect. But if I'm really good, well, then really good has got to be good enough. It's a dangerous thought, though, because what's dangerous in it is that it's basically saying that there's divine karma, right? That if I'm a good person, God's just going to rain down blessings upon me and nothing bad is going to happen. But what do we find? We find that really, really good people all the time, bad things happen to them too. I mean, you read the stories about missionaries and what happened to the disciples and missionaries. They'll go halfway across the world and give up their entire life and sell all their possessions to do all these things for God and live by faith, and they get sick. Or something happens to their kids. Or something happens to their spouse. It's hard. And this idea of divine karma, like, I'm going to do good, so God will do good for me, it doesn't come from the Bible. But Jesus says in Matthew 5, 45, for he's talking about God, gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. See, Jesus reminds us that bad things happen to bad people and good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people and good things happen to good people. And so we have to be careful that we don't, like, oversimplify how God operates and make it say, like, well, this divine karma is, like, how it all works. Because the shadow side of that, of divine karma, is that, man, that leaves us open to blame ourselves for a lot of stuff. And it sounds like this. Well, if I can just pray more, then I'll stop lusting. If I can just read more of my Bible, then I won't be depressed. I won't feel this way anymore. If I could just have more faith, like, I won't be anxious anymore. But what we're doing in that moment when we say things like that is we might be trying to solve a physical problem with a spiritual solution alone. And that's just as foolish as breaking your leg and praying for God to heal you alone. God's like, just go to the doctor. We do this sometimes. Sure, prayer and reading and more faith and those things are important, incredibly important. But remember that we live in a fallen world. A world where sin has entered in and made the world something that it was never designed to be. Jesus says this too. He says, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. The question is, well, who does Jesus tell this to? He tells his disciples. He tells those who are closest to him. He tells those who are the very best of the best, the cream of the crop. It doesn't get any better than these guys. And Jesus says, no, you're still going to experience hard things. And yet somehow, Sometimes we think that we can righteous our way out of bad things happening to us. You know, it's not the disciple story, but it's also not Job's story. The author of Job tells us at the very beginning, Job 1:1, there once was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and he stayed away from evil. So he was blameless. How blameless was he? He was so blameless that when his kids would get together, they would have celebrations, they would have a party, and they would have a feast. And when it was over, when it was done, listen to what Job would do. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them, each one of his kids. For Job said to himself, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular practice. This is crazy to me. Job was so stinking good that he would offer sacrifices for his kids just in case they had too much to drink and said something that they weren't supposed to say. He was blameless. And what happened to Job? He lost everything, all of his possessions and all of his children. His body was covered in sores. The only thing that was left for Job was his boneheaded friends and his wife. And his wife told him, why don't you just curse God and die? Like, isn't she uplifting, right? I'm like, God, take her too. My goodness. That was the punishment that he didn't. Listen to what Job does instead. He said, I came naked from my mother's womb. I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. Isn't that crazy? Like, how do you get to that? How do you get to that space where Job is? Job continued to praise God in the midst of the bad things that happened to him. He still had faith. And not because he was like, oh, I'm just going to hold on and have faith because eventually, like, God's going to turn this thing around. And then if I have faith, then God will eventually bless me. No, he had faith because he knew that God was in charge. Because he refused to believe that he had gotten to a spot where God owed him anything for his goodness. See, to follow Jesus is to recognize that we follow Jesus in an imperfect world. A world that has fallen. Where bad things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. It doesn't mean that God isn't in charge or that God doesn't care, or that God isn't good. It means that we live in a fallen and broken world and we will all experience fallenness and brokenness. And so the question is, well, what do we do when bad things happen to us? Can we respond like Job? Is there any comfort when bad things happen? Is there any faith we can have, any hope that we can have? Which brings us to learning number three. God doesn't waste a hurt. God doesn't waste a hurt. I read John 16:33 just a few minutes ago where Jesus says, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. You're like, yeah, we remember. Nobody's fallen asleep yet, okay? Good. But I left out part of it. I left out part of 16:33 on purpose so we could live in this tension for just a minute. But the rest of 16:33, listen to what Jesus says. He says, but take heart because I have overcome the world. But take heart He reminds us. In fact, it's not a reminder, is it? It's a command. Take heart. Have confidence. Have faith. Hold on to your hope. Now, I just want to say right now, this can be really hard. This can be really hard if you are walking through something difficult right now. I mean, how can you have confidence in the bad things in life? So we're going to talk about a few of them. It's not an exhaustive list, but I hope it'll be helpful to you. One way that we get through the bad things in life is that we remember the bad things in life can serve a greater good. You remember the story of Joseph? Joseph was hated by his brothers. Their father liked him the best. And they hated him so much, they sold him into slavery. And their intention was for him to be nothing but a memory. But then through these like miraculous parts of his story that happen, he goes from slavery in Egypt and he rises in the ranks and he eventually becomes Pharaoh's right-hand man, like second in command in Egypt. And so years later, his brothers come to Egypt to ask for food because the land that they're from is experiencing a famine. There's no food there. And so they come to see Pharaoh, but who do they have to see first? They have to see Pharaoh's right-hand man. And they see Joseph. And they don't recognize him. Why? Because years and years and years have passed and there's this incredible moment, the climax of the story, when Joseph reveals his true identity to his brothers. And they're terrified. But Joseph has mercy on him. In Genesis 50:20, Joseph says it like this to him: "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people." You know, bad things happen, but we have to remember that nothing escapes God's attention, that he's always at work. And we can also take heart in the midst of bad things when we can remember that, you know, God can use those bad things in our lives to help other people. 1 Corinthians, Paul says it like this: "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father in the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled, and we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us." Isn't that a cool thing? Isn't that a great description of what happens too? This verse reminds us that the things that we walk through are not just things that we walk through alone, that there are people who have experienced these things before us and people who will experience these things after us. You know, y'all are tired of hearing about this, but this is my story. Like when I first got sober, I had to walk through some really, really hard things in my life. And I remember having a thought, like not too far into it, like, man, this is going to be worth it. Like, this is going to be worth it if I can just, like, use part of my story to help somebody else. And thankfully, like, I've been able to do that. I've seen God, you know, restore marriages and families and relationships. And I got to just have a front row seat of watching God do that. Not because I did anything special or had all magic words to say to people, but just because I started the conversation with hey man, I get it. I did all that stuff. I get it. I know how you're feeling. But let me tell you what God did for me. It makes all the difference in the world. I'm not going to have that same effect on somebody who has lost a parent or never had a parent or someone who has lost a child or never had a child or lost a sibling. But you might. So the question for all of us is, What suffering, what bad thing is part of your story, and how has God comforted you? Because the way that he has comforted you, he didn't want you just to keep that. He wants you to give it away and comfort somebody else who's not as far in that particular journey or that story as you are. When bad things happen to us now, we can also remember that bad things will not always happen to us. Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians, "This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. Isn't that cool? The things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. You know, if you're a Jesus follower and you're here this morning, you're watching online, this world is not the only world that we will experience. That one day we'll experience God's perfect world when God lives in perfect relationship and fellowship and communion with us forever and ever, where bad things won't happen. Listen to how John talks about it in Revelation. "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be there with him. He will wipe every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.' And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.'" It's a beautiful passage. Paul had a tough life too. He was no stranger to pain. He was shipwrecked. He was persecuted. He was stoned. People hated him. People were trying to kill him everywhere he went. But he took similar comfort in the trials in life, knowing that there was a promise for his future. 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." Listen, if you're here this morning and you're walking through something hard right now, there's a chance that all these like different avenues that I'm talking about that'll comfort you are really just kind of making you mad. Because the spot that you're in with that hard thing right now is not the, "Oh, I'm going to like get over it." It's just really, really hard. And I just want to tell you that there's space for you here, space for you in a group. If you're in one, there's a space for you before God to just say, "This sucks. This is so, so hard. This is the hardest thing that I've ever had to do in my life. I don't want to push you or prod you or pull you to like get over it. I don't. It's okay. It doesn't scare God off. It doesn't scare us off as a church. But what I want you to do is just slowly just allow God and maybe a couple of other people into that space. Just be open enough to allow God to comfort you. Because here's the truth. God is no stranger to pain. He's no stranger to pain because the very worst thing happened to the very best person. Peter says it like this, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned nor never deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly." Listen to this. "He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we could be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed." this is such a good reminder that Jesus experienced the worst. He endured the worst. He was beaten. He was tortured. He was humiliated. He was hung on a cross naked, all for us, so that we could have a relationship with God forever. Why can't we just have a relationship with God without all that stuff? Without Jesus' sacrifice? Paul says it like this in 5:18, and it's right in there with that same section that we read earlier about Adam's sin corrupting the whole world. Listen to what God has done for us. Romans 5:18, yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. God isn't unaware of our suffering. He isn't unloving towards our struggles. He loves you. He cares for you. He really does. If you're here this morning and you have a relationship with Jesus already, if you're a Jesus follower, if you call yourself that, take comfort. Take heart. You are not alone. Jesus experienced the worst so that we can have his best, so that we can have a relationship with God who carries us through hard times. Know that God is working in the midst of it, even if you can't see it or understand it. Know that that thing that you're walking through eventually is going to be something that's just going to be a story one day, that you get to tell somebody else about how God brought you through it. Know and take heart that God is preparing a home for you if you have trusted in him, where there will be no more pain or hurt or suffering or tears or loss, a home where every tear will be wiped away. If you're here this morning and you haven't made a decision to follow Jesus, I want to invite you to take that step. I want to invite you to take that step, not so that you won't ever experience pain or bad things in life. Those things absolutely are going to happen to you. But I want to invite you to have a relationship with Jesus so that you'll have a friendship with God when the storms in life, when the bad things in life, when the trials in life, whatever you want to call them, when they hit, you've got somebody you can lean on, so that you can have a hope and a promise and somebody who's got your back, who's got your back in this life and the next. Would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you for how you love us. Thank you that you, the very best person that experienced the most awful, the most worst, not because you deserved it, but because we did, that you are no stranger to suffering. I pray if there's anyone here this morning that needs to take that step to begin to follow you today, that they would take that step. That they would develop a friendship with you that helps them get through even the most difficult things in life. Would you help them to take that step to just say, Jesus, I need you. I want to begin to follow you today. Would you help me? For those of us who have been following you for a while, help us to take heart. I don't know what's going on with every single person here this morning, but you do. I pray that you would give them comfort. If they're in that spot where they're just like, this is just the worst thing, it's so overwhelming, would you just allow them to feel your presence? Allow them to have a conversation with a friend that's uplifting. Just whisper in their ear that this is not going to be a forever thing. We're so thankful for how you love us, how you walk with us, how you're patient with us. and for how you're working in the background where we can't even see. That we know that bad things happen in life, but we know that you are good, that you're all powerful, that you love us, that you care for us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you got something going on in your life, maybe one of those bad things that we talked about, there's a prayer team here that meets up here at the front at the end of each service. Come and ask for prayer. They would love to pray for you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus today, to invite him into your life, we want to celebrate with you. Would you let us know? Would you fill out the Connect card on the app or stop by the hub on the way out? We'd love to give you a gift. If you made that decision online, we'd love to give you a gift and mail it to you if we need to. We're glad to do that. If you came prepared to give today, go ahead and do that. There are some boxes at the back wall and then out in the lobby, and then, of course, you can give online. Thank you for your generosity. We could not do what we do without you, and so thank you. So we'll see y'all next week. We'll tackle another question together. Hope y'all have a great rest of your week. We'll see y'all then. Bye-bye.